The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. More of the Outdoors and Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And we have with us this morning Butch Webb from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. And we're going to talk a little bit about white perch this morning. So good morning, Butch. Good morning, Butch. Hello, Butch. Do I have to press this button? I don't know if he's there. Let me see that.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you there for a minute. Okay, good. Thought maybe you're...
Fourth of July, how are you?
I'm good. Happy 4th of July to you as well. So,
yeah, we're doing all right.
Doing all right.
Oh, yeah.
So white perch is probably one of the most sought-after species of fish in Maryland next to rockfish. Yes?
That's correct.
Yep. All right. Very popular species. A lot of people like to fish for them. They make a delicious sandwich or a batch of fried fish, and I know you have your own Cajun recipe for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So we'll talk about that a little later. But where are the perch now? I know, you know, we talk in the spring about the perch run, you know, the big white perch coming in, and I don't think we had much of a run this year, did we?
Not of the bigger fish. We had a lot of smaller fish,
mm-hmm.
especially down on the chop tank where we have our experimental fight net set out down
mm-hmm.
there. And over the past few years, you know, we weren't catching a whole lot of the smaller fish. We were catching bigger fish, and last year it started off where we started catching fewer of the bigger fish, and the stock size fish, the 6 to 8 inch fish, really came on.
Right.
They're just the size of them right now. We've got real good recruitment.
So
doing good.
You say when we get, you know, say, so you're not getting a lot of the bigger fish, you're getting a lot of smaller fish, which is a good thing.
Right.
Because that's the sustainability. That's the fish for the future.
Right.
How big does a white perch, I mean, tell me the progression. I mean, the fish are spawned here in the chop, let's say they spawn in a chop tank, those fish grow to how big the first year, and how big, you know, how long does it take for a fish to get 8, 9, 10 inches long?
8, 9, 10 inches long are probably close to 7 to 8 years.
7, 8 years to get to
right.
an eight or nine inch fish? Are you kidding me?
Right. They're very slow growers.
Huh.
Very slow growers. The first year they'll get up to probably around 4 inches.
Right.
First year. And then after that, it really slows down.
Right.
A lot of the systems are different, too. You get better growth down in the Nanticoke, down that way, than you do in the chop tank.
Right.
A little bit faster down there. Not a whole lot.
Right.
Enough where you can tell the difference in it.
Okay. So that's a very popular bottom species this time of year. We have a number of headboats that go out of the Mid-Bay region or Kent Island or Kent Narrows there, and they fish for these fish. They fish for, you know, the bottom fish, which is white perch and the spot and the croakers and that type of thing. What are we seeing right now? I mean, are we seeing them there, or where would be a great place to fish for white perch if I wanted to go today, let's say?
A lot of the reef parts themselves, any place where you got a whole lot of structure.
Right.
Probably off Thomas Point Light.
Right.
And up towards Baltimore Light, up the channel, up the bay, up that way, different areas up in there.
I know we used to go out to 7-foot knoll out that area and
right.
catch perch.
Right. foot knoll is a good place to go at this time of year, actually.
Right. So it's a bottom fishing, you know, and you could catch anything. You could catch croaker, you could catch spot, you could catch just about anything, even small rock. I mean, even good rock fish, you know,
right.
blue fish, anything. So is there a way to particularly target white perch if you're, you know, or are you just going to, you know, go out there and get the luck of the draw?
Well, if you can find them, if you can find a few of them, they're going to.
You're going to get into them.
Going to get into them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I got you.
It's just finding a few, moving around a couple of spots and until you get on them. And once you get on them, you're going to
right.
pick them up.
All right. Now, can you mark these fish on a fish finder, or are you just pretty much looking for structure?
You can mark them on fish finders. A lot of the commercial guys use them, their fish finders whenever they're out setting perch nets out for the.
I mean, how do you differentiate between them and menhaden and every other school fish out there? I mean, is closer to the bottom or
they'll be closer to the bottom? They won't be suspended quite as high.
Menhaden
will be menhaden and gizzard shad and stuff will be, you know, suspended further up in the water column.
Okay.
And the white perch will be down
in the bottom. So
on the bottom.
The way I always used to bottom fish was. You know, you can use the top and bottom rig. I kind of like the nylon ones as opposed to the metal ones, you know, the monofilament ones, because they're
right.
just, to me, they just don't tangle quite as much, and they're not as, you know, they just seem to, like they're not as alarming to the fish. I mean, of course, these fish are not that particular. But,
no, they're not. Once they get
a number six hook and a piece of nightcrawler, bloodworm, or, you know, whatever. But, the technique I always used to use was use a weight heavy enough to get it down there quickly, let it hit the bottom and then reel in till you can just feel it scraping on the bottom. And not, you know, you don't want it just laying there. You just want to make sure it's kind of, your bait's kind of vertical and even crank it half a reel off the bottom and you know, as the boat's moving up and down, you can feel your sinker bouncing the bottom, and they seem to like that. Is that a good technique?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a good way to go about it. Once they find it, you can normally get into a few of them.
Sure. So the baits I mentioned, I mean, are that pretty much standard night crawlers.
Night crawler, grass shrimp.
Right. Does anybody use minnows in the bay? I mean, I know you use them in the perch run, you know, behind it or on a shad dart or something like that. But
right, people normally use the minnows early in the spring in the spring run.
Right,
when the fish are further up.
Right. Would there be any reason not to?
No, not really. I mean, doesn't hurt to try anything.
No, of course not. But what I'm thinking is, if you got some bull minnows or that type of thing, you're targeting the white perch, you put a bull minnow on one of the hooks, you're surely going to catch a white perch, but the possibility arises that you could always catch a flounder, especially if you're in Eastern Bay.
Right, this time of year.
Yeah.
Get up there off of Poplar Island up that way.
Yeah. Yeah, 20, 21 feet of water if you want to drift, and there's flounder there. People don't know it, but there's plenty of flounder there. And
right.
Hey, Butch, you've been on the bay a long, long time. Let me ask this question a little off topic, a little off the white perch. Are you guys still seeing winter flounder come into the bay?
I haven't seen a winter flounder in a while. I think the last time I saw one was, we used to do a flagnet survey with the commercial guy on the Chester River.
Mm-hmm.
And he was picking up some in February and March.
Right.
When he had his flagnets out for yellow perch.
Right.
And I haven't seen one in a while.
We used to go to New Jersey in February for a family vacation. We'd go twice a year, February, March, and then again in August, and twice a year. And we would fish Delaware Bay for winter flounder.
Right.
A little piece of bloodworm and again, a top and bottom rig. And it was always, it was always cold. It was March. And when I moved to Maryland back in the mid-'80s, early mid-'80s, folks at Fishers were telling me that we had at one time a pretty good population of winter flounder coming in here. And I just wondered why we don't, and I'm wondering if the stocks are down, you know, across the board, or if they're still strong somewhere. I know fish populations fluctuate, but you know, if there were winter flounder here in the 80s, why aren't there any here now?
I'm not sure that many people actually target them.
No, I know you don't target them, but I mean, I'm wondering if you're, you know, you said biologists were the ones that were telling me they saw them.
Right.
And the question was if they were there then in sufficient numbers that you could actually go out and catch a couple, you know, what changed, or had those fish stocks dwindled, or maybe you don't even know.
Yeah.
So
I'm not really sure what the...
Yeah, I mean,
that would be.
Yeah, well, I know it's not. I know it's not a big fishery here, but
like I said, we stopped doing that flight net survey with the guy there on Chester River, probably back in the mid '90s.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we haven't been out that time of year in that area. I know a guy that used to work for the department, retired now. He said that the Chester River was one of the best places to actually find them.
Hmm.
Mouth of Chester River.
Okay. Well, then perhaps we still have some there. We just don't have any brave souls that want to go out in February and fish for them.
Right.
That wouldn't surprise me. But that'd be quite an adventure if you could find somebody to take you out there. So, yeah, you know. So I've never seen a picture of a winter flounder in anything that I've ever seen in Maryland. So, but I mean, Jersey, they're just a tremendously popular species. They were. I don't know if they are now, but. Anyway, I digress. I get off the topic there. So, we're with Butch Webb, ladies and gentlemen. Butch is a biologist for the Maryland Fisheries Service, and we're talking about white perch. Of course, I threw in winter flounder and just threw him a whole curveball there, but we're going to talk about white perch when we come back from this break. So, let me tell you about Merrick Backcountry. Write that down, Backcountry. It's a dog food for dogs whose taste buds are still wild. We add chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat to grain-free high-protein kibble. It's made in the USA with no ingredients from China. Merrick Backcountry is the ancestral diet preferred by dogs who prefer the outdoors, like yours. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. You know, summer's the time for picnics and family get-togethers and camping trips. Summer's the corn on the cob and steamed crabs and fresh tomatoes. Summer is cold, juicy melons. Oh, man, get those. Get your corn, get your tomatoes, get your watermelons for the 4th of July at Papa John's Farm. The Schillinger family likes to steam their crabs. And they don't sell crabs there. They just sell corn on the cob. But they'll get some crabs, and they'll put them in a steam pot, and they will steam them up with their corn on the cob. Hot corn on the cob with crab spice. Can you imagine what that would taste like? If you enjoy your time outdoors with great tasting food, head to Schillinger's Papa John's Farm in Severn. At their enormous produce barn, they grow their own super sweet corn. Homegrown tomatoes, too. There's squash, zucchini, peppers, and onions, green beans, cucumbers, all the fruits and vegetables you could need, want, or imagine. Mouth-watering cantaloupes and sweet, sweet, sweet watermelons that I just love to slurp. Papa John's Farm is located just off I-97 at exit 12, 8065 New Cut Road in Severn. Call 410-969-8810, Papa John's Farm. Open every day, Monday to Saturday from 9 to 7, Sunday 9 to 6. And that phone number again, 410-969-8810. Papa John's Farm, it'll grow on you. This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Hey, you know, Clyde Sports Shop, we talked about their fishing and crabbing supplies, and they've got all those and all you can want, need, or imagine. But, and I use that term a lot, by the way, just so you know. And I also use the term that I heard on the radio a long, long time ago. A guy in Harrisburg used to use this phrase, also too as well. Yeah, that phrase, also too as well. Yeah, I picked that up. I thought that was cute. Anyway, Clyde Sports Shop. Listen, if you like the shooting sports, sporting clays, trap, skeet, Clyde's has the firearms, not only the firearms, but the loads, the trap and skeet loads, the shooting vests and gloves, the range bags, the hearing and eye protection, and, good news, they just got an entire pallet or more of shot. So if you would like to reload your own, they've got 7.5, 8, and 9 shot for those of you who are into the shooting sports. So stop by and check that out. Now, as far as firearms are concerned, the ideal competition shotgun for trap shooters of all ages is the BT-99 trap gun. The backboard barrel utilizes the Invector Plus choke tube system to provide more consistent patterns and reduce felt recoil. Not only that, there's the 725 Satori sporting model. It's a perfect blend of beauty and performance. 5 Invector DS choke tubes, ported barrel, triple trigger system, Vector Pro length and forcing cones, and the field model 725 is also available if you like to use that over and under to hunt. Don't forget, if you're into hunting, the BPS pump shotgun, the A5 semi-automatic, all at hunting headquarters for Browning Firearms. That's Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Don't forget, they've got shot for reloading, firearms, licenses, gunsmithing, scope, and scope mounting, too. Clyde Sports Shop, 242-6108, ClydeSports.com.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Oh, I guess I got to do another one here. Okay, we can do that. We can talk about the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You know, the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and today is a free fishing day. If you want to take everybody fishing for nothing, just get your rods and your reels and head out there and go. Yep, no license required today. Today only, not tomorrow. Yep, they'll pinch you tomorrow. The Maryland Fishing Challenge, a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fisheries Service for everyone who is a recreational fisherman in Maryland or woman. Or angler, or whatever term you want to use. We're totally politically incorrect here. Eligible fish include all game fish from the Atlantic to the Chesapeake and all the freshwater rivers, creeks, streams, and ponds. That's right. There are, as a freshwater division or non-tidal, there's a Chesapeake Bay or tidal division, and then there's Atlantic Coast division as well. There's another, you know, group called the catch and release and even invasive species for anybody who fishes for anything. There's a youth division, too, connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. Now, you catch a fish of a notable specified size, you get your official angler award certificate for catching that fish, and attached to that is an invitation to go to the grand finale event in September where you could win a Tracker Marine boat package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, packages from Bass Pro Shops and Bill's Outdoor Center, collectible Under Armour heat gear t-shirts, and even a share of $25,000 in cash prizes. Cash prizes. Fish are biting right now all over Maryland. Freshwater, saltwater, tidal water, you name it. Now's not the time to stay indoors. Go fish. The official rules are online at dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries.
Start your day with Sean and Frank. Maryland's wake-up call. Weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Snow and rain and a bright sunshine.
Butch Webb, Maryland Fisheries Service, talking about white perch. Good morning, Bush, again.
Good morning.
Hey, man. So we were talking a little bit about bottom fishing for white perch, and give me a couple more hot spots, if you would, for where you'd go. I mean, if you're on a charter boat and things are slow, or maybe you caught your rockfish, the captain breaks out the top and bottom rods, or maybe you bring your own and talk to him ahead of time, say we want to do some bottom fishing, give me a couple more hot spots.
Well,
mouths of the rivers.
I would say, actually, over on Choptank River.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even need it. Over on Choptank River, I would say right at the mouth of Harris Creek over there. There's a few oyster beds over in there.
Okay,
that's also one of the areas where you can pick up some spot too.
Sure.
Same area there.
Okay. Good. Yep. Is this a good time of year to fish for white perch? I mean, or is there a better time?
Well, I would think the better time would be during the spawning run.
Mm-hmm.
They're a lot easier to catch.
Right.
They're congregated, moving up into the tributaries and stuff.
Right.
And they don't, generally they don't all spawn at one time. Like a yellow perch, they would all spawn within a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
White perch tend to have a tendency to have a protracted spawn where it's kind of spread out over 3 to 4 weeks where they're all, you know, when they...
Yeah, so that's a springtime deal, though. That's like
right.
late February into March, that time of year.
March and April.
Okay, got it. Now, a lot of people like to fish, not necessarily from a boat, but they like to fish from, you know, from the piers and lands and land and jetties and that type of thing. Are there perch available and accessible off of some of the piers and bridges that we can fish?
Oh yeah, there's some off of the Choptank River Fishing Pier. There's quite a few there at Kenton Arrows.
Right.
Underneath the bridge there at Kenton Arrows. I'd go underneath there with a small, probably, I think it's 1/8 ounce rattle trap.
Mm-hmm.
And pick up quite a few of them underneath there.
Really?
Along with some, you know, you get some smaller rockfish mixed in with them too.
But right.
There's a little small rattle trap works really good.
Mm-hmm.
Really like it.
You like fishing that rattle trap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could tell.
I almost took it down to Chickamaucomico yesterday and see if I could pick up a couple of snakeheads, but I didn't make it down that way.
Didn't make it, huh? So there's some there's snakeheads just now everywhere in Maryland.
They're
spreading
out pretty good.
Yeah. Are they traveling themselves? Are they being you know, transferred in there? Do we know what's going on with that?
I don't know. There's theories both ways.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the theory was, well, they'll never migrate into the bay because it's so, you know, they can't salinity. Take the salinity. But, you know, it looks like they're making their run just about everywhere.
Right.
So, okay. Do the snakeheads have a detrimental effect on the white perch?
Not so much. I imagine they would eat them.
Yeah.
Because they eat just about anything.
Right.
And, the blue catfish over on the Potomac River, they've been finding white perch in their diet over there.
Talk about that a little bit.
Well, like I said, the blue catfish were introduced 2 years ago, and they like a live fish. That normally, I know when I was down in Louisiana years ago, we used to set trot lines down there in the lakes down there, and we would use live bluegills for bait.
Right.
So they prefer their food to be alive, just,
mm-hmm.
just like flatheads.
Mm-hmm.
But they like white perch, and they like gizzard shad.
Okay.
Just about anything.
Yeah. So I guess some of the food studies on the catfish have determined that they do prefer white perch just about to anything.
Well, yeah.
But, I mean, they're opportunistic, of course. They'll eat gizzard shad, and they'll eat herring, and they'll eat white shad. They'll eat anything and everything.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, an 80-pound fish needs a lot of food.
It does. It needs a whole lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Most
of the ones, like I said, the flatheads and stuff up on the Susquehanna River, where the majority of those are being caught right now, are feeding on gizzard shad.
Mm-hmm. Do you have anything to do with any of the freshwater white perch in some of the Baltimore area reservoirs?
No, not in the reservoirs. That's all the freshwater.
That's freshwater guy.
Inland crew.
Yeah. Same species, though.
Same species, yeah.
Same species. So we have a fish that normally is linked to tidal water, surviving and thriving and expanding in our freshwater reservoirs here. I mean, we had a caller a couple weeks ago said they catch, you know, a couple hundred of them a year, and you know, there's guys that target them because you know they are in freshwater and they just like to catch them. So,
right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now the techniques that they use in freshwater with the inline spinners or the you know, that type of thing, I'm sure that'll work on the bay, right?
Right. The little small beetle spin works too.
Okay.
You know, if you're fishing from a pier or around some structure and dock pilings and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
Just running a little small white beetle spin or something like that, nice and slow, bumping it, let it bounce off the bottom a little bit and mm-hmm. reeling it up, just bouncing it. It works really nice too.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they're a lot of fun on light line, you know, 4-pound, 6-pound test.
Right,
but
right. That's what I generally use, something as light as I can get.
Right. And a beetle spin is a, for people that don't know, it's almost like the original spinner bait. It's like a safety pin lure that has a spinner on one arm and then a jig head with a hook attached on the other. And the beetle spin is just a little plastic or rubber body on there, and you said a white one. A lot of them you'll find with a white twister tail. Maybe they'll have a little type of a grub tail, some kind on there. Some of them have the you know, black stripes on them. They'll try and make them look like a caterpillar or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And but you like the white better than any other color.
Well, for white perch stuff, like I said, the twister tail one worked really good too, and I like to prefer the white
mm-hmm.
that time of year.
Okay.
Or fish around pylons and stuff.
Sure. So any little 8-down spinner bait or beetle spin or something like that will work.
Right.
Work well. Do you use just regular plastics on a jig head or anything like that? Just a little, you know, a little twister.
As a jig.
Yeah.
Not really.
Or
not
a dart? So no, you like the okay.
I like to keep the bait moving a little bit and you know, cast it around.
Yeah.
Objects and stuff and try to keep it moving and keep it off the bottom, keep from getting hung up. I know underneath the, like I said, underneath the Kent Narrows Bridge down there, there's a lot of riprap.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep it up off the bottom.
Right.
Otherwise you'll be changing. You'll be putting on a new lure every time. Every time we cast.
Yeah, I got it. Yep, so. All right, well, that's cool. Now, you use the small beetle spin, you use light line. What's your rod and reel selection like? Spinning rod?
It's just an ultralight spinning rod.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's cool. Yeah, my buddy Tackle Box Tim is a specialist in white perch. He loves fishing for white perch. Mm-hmm. And he had a birthday here a couple weeks ago, and he received a new ultralight spinning rod, so... I don't know if Tim's listening today or not, but he fishes over around Fort McHenry, Tapsco, and those areas
right.
over there. Tell me about that area here that's accessible to the folks in Baltimore.
Yeah, that's a good spot to go over there off of into Patapsco.
Mm-hmm.
Around Key Bridge Pilings and right there off of the
right
pilings going to the wharves and stuff, piers going up into Bear Creek.
Right. Right.
It's nice up in there too.
Yeah, sure. So I know we use the little minnow baits. Here's an interesting question. Somebody wants to know off the air. I don't know why I didn't go on the air, and people are welcome to go on the air with us if you want and answer, you know, talk to Butch about any questions you have about white perch. But here's a question. Can you use bluegills as bait to catch bass? That's from Ben in Catonsville.
I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't.
I mean, are you allowed to use one? Are you allowed to catch a fish and then turn around, put it back on the hook, and use it for bait? Obviously, because we do.
I would think you could. There's no size limit on bluegills.
Right. Yep, and I've done that and caught bass on bluegills. You know, you just take a number 10 hook and a little tiny piece of night crawl, and you catch the smallest bluegill you can catch, and then hook it just like you would hook a minnow bait right behind the dorsal fin. Don't hook it too deep. Don't hook it too high. You hook it too high, you break the spine. You hook it too deep, you catch the internal organs. You want to keep it alive, so you hook it right through the back strap, toss it overboard, and see what happens. And a bass will eat that. I know they used to use bigger bluegills for bigger bass in bigger pieces of water down south. They called them brim. Brim.
Florida.
Yeah, down in Florida, just like they use the wild shiners. And they would actually let those bass take them. And one famous picture that I saw in one of the big three magazines, the bluegill had actually been sucked in by the bass and had come out through the gill plate. And the guy, you know, hooked the bass and brought it in, but it was pretty interesting. So the answer to the question there is, for Ben in Catonsville, is probably. Probably.
I would think you could.
Yep, check your regulations, that's for sure.
Right.
So, always. So, anyway, Butch, what size white perch qualifies for an angler award?
It's 13 inches.
Okay.
And last year we had 88 white perch that were submitted for citations that made it into the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
88 angler award size white perch in the Maryland Fishing Challenge.
It was over, that's 88 of them that were over 13 inches. And up to June 22nd of this year, we've had 22.
22. So, okay. Well, you know what? That's pretty cool. We can all hope to catch a 13-inch white perch. Not all of us do.
No. We don't see a whole lot of that size of them in our fight nets, actually. I mean, 13-inch white perch is a really nice size white perch.
That is a very nice size white perch. Yeah, I can't tell you the biggest one I caught. I mean, years ago, I tell this story, went down on the Choptank River fishing pier, which is now the Bill Burton fishing pier, there between Talbot and Dorchester County over the Choptank, and we fished in the evenings, and we just tore up the white perch. I mean, it was one of the best fishing trips ever had for white perch, and we caught some really nice ones. I don't know if we caught anything 13 inches or not, but...
was that springtime, summertime?
It was in the summertime. Summertime in the evening, yeah. And, of course, the big rockfish were in there. They were, you know, we couldn't catch them, but they were in there just slapping those fish all around underneath that bridge, and that was a lot of fun. So, and that's another one there. So, hey, look, who joined us? Tackle Box Tim. Let's talk to Tim. Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Hey, I'm good this morning. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How about you?
All right, I'm just looking to jump in on the...
Help us out here on the some of the tips and techniques for yellow perch and some of the... give us a GPS location of your favorite areas there, Tim.
I found a new GPS coordinate, and it was a decimal point. And unfortunately, my hummingbird has the minute second like GPS, so I was... fairly distraught yesterday when I was out fishing.
So how are you doing on the perch?
Yesterday it was actually my first time out, and I went to some of my outer locations on a Patapsco, and not much was happening. But to end my day when that happens, I usually run into Bear Creek.
Right.
And yesterday we had a blast.
Good.
We caught white perch, yellow perch. And my daughter and I doubled up on chain pickerel.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. You love chain pickerel, don't you, Butch?
Yeah.
And I tell you what, that new rod that you mentioned a little while ago held that chain pickerel. That was a pretty good battle.
Hey, you should have had fun with that. That was a nice little rod, and I thought of you immediately when I saw that, and I thought, you know what? Let's see if we can put a new challenge into Tim's hands.
So. Yeah, that was a bit of a challenge yesterday. But with white perch, your guess was, or the last conversation about perch was the beetle spins, and I like doing that sort of thing, but. When you're not fishing around heavily concentrated, snaggy structure, I like to do the little finesse fish, 2.5-inch on a jig head, eighth of an ounce. And if you are in an area that's got somewhat of a snaggy scenario to it, I found little football head jigs work better than round jigs. You don't get snagged as much.
All right, hang on there, both of you guys. We're going to lock both of you in, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk to both of you. Merrick Backcountry. For dogs whose taste buds are still wild, we add chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat to grain-free high-protein kibble. Made in the USA with no ingredients from China, Merrick Backcountry is the ancestral diet preferred by dogs who prefer the outdoors. Merrick Backcountry, they love the wild as much as you do. Let me editorialize just a second here on that. My lab, you know, with lab ears, is susceptible to allergies and ear allergies especially. So we put her on a grain-free diet years ago. Well, now guess what? We're going to put her on some Merrick because of the natural ingredients in Merrick. And who knows? We might switch. We'll see. We're getting a sample from Merrick, and we'll see how she likes it and how she does on it. And I'm anxious to try it, and I'll report to you folks on how she does. NBS Seafood, 1223 Dorsey Road, Glen Burnie, stocked with Maryland crabs. That's right, Maryland crabs, Maryland crabs, Maryland crabs. This is the last weekend for the Louisiana Jumbo Crawfish. They will still carry the andouille sausage and the gator sausage and all that stuff from Louisiana, but now that the Maryland crabs are here, that's where we're going. NBS Seafood carries wild-caught white perch, just what we're talking about, jumbo Gulf shrimp, scallops, fresh crab meat, a variety of other seafood items, and have all the spices to make your seafood taste great. They also carry Black Angus New York strip steaks for your grill, so you can do surf and turf this weekend. That's right. You need live crabs, stop by and see NBS Seafood. Call the number 410-271-3202. Again, they're located 1223 Dorsey Road, just off I-97 beside Jim Donnie RV. They're open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's right. Most of the days are open at 2. Saturday and Sunday, they're open at 10. NBS accepts Visa, MasterCard, EBT, and cash. If you have any questions about any of this, give them a call at 410-271-3202. Did I mention that NBS sheds their own soft crabs and has a great selection of soft, live and frozen soft crabs for you to take home? Oh, do I love a soft crab sandwich. Put a slice of tomato on there from Papa John's. Man, oh, man. Ooh, 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 you got some good eating. NBS, no bull stuff, seafood, 271-3202. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, head to Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573, 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle, Pasadena.
Stay connected. Listen on AM 680 or stream us on your PC, tablet, or phone at WCBM.com.
New frequency detected.
I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones. They're mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade sitting in the shade.
All right. We're on the air with Butch Webb from Maryland Department of Natural Resources Fishery Service. We're talking about white perch, and we have Tackle Box Tim Sherman joining us here and talking about some of his favorite techniques for white perch. You guys both with me? Hello? Nope. Hello, Tim?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Butch, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, brother. So, Tim, I've fished with you at Fort McHenry and a couple of places around the area you were talking about, Bear Creek and all that. And we did use those 2.5-inch finesse fish. They looked like a little minnow.
Yes.
And I think I wrote something in the angler log a long time ago about fishing with you in the angler's log on the DNR Fisheries Service webpage. And the colors we used varied from what to what depending on water temperature or water color.
We used the one that was dominant that day was the firecracker thing, which is more of a pearly white, almost clear with all bunch of different types of sparkles built into it. But Alan, I've got about 9 different colors in my box, and here recently it has not made any rhyme or reason to color selection. I've got bubblegum, I've got chartreuse greenback, I've got brown, I've got school bus yellow, and I just, when I use a tandem rig, I put 2 colors on. If I've got other folks with me, there's like 6 colors being flung around, and then whichever one's catching best, everybody switches to.
Now, Butch, do you notice any particular color preference? I know you talked about white, but do you switch up? Do you use chartreuse and yellow and
chartreuse yellow?
Yeah. Okay.
Pearl color.
Pearl. Okay, so you stick with the lighter stuff because it's easier to see in the
right.
In the tidal water where you fish. And have either of you ever figured out that a dark color works or not?
I have tried like the green pumpkin colors, mm-hmm. and the bass colors, and I have not gotten a bite on that. I don't know why.
Okay, so the bass love the pumpkin and the greens and the browns and that type of thing, but the perch prefer the
right.
Yeah.
Lighter colors.
Lighter colors, yeah.
Lights and brights.
Hold on a minute, guys. Okay, got rid of that little tickle in the throat. We did try that firecracker, and Butch, you might want to look at that. That's a clear with red and silver and blue flakes in it. You know, on the 4th of July, it's a great color if you're going to go fishing for perch.
Right.
But I think what that might imitate would be a grass shrimp, Tim. What do you think about that?
That's a possibility.
Or some type of minnow that, you know, the glitter reflects the glitter reflects the light, any light that gets down that deep, and causes a little phosphorescent or something in under the water that fish can locate a little easier. I don't know.
Little flash on the scale or something like that.
Yeah. So what do you think, Butch, on the flash? The flash. I mean, you talk about
right.
the beetle spin. That's
one reason I use that, because of the flash.
Yeah,
it adds a little more attractant to it.
Okay. Well, if you're fishing, if you guys are fishing live bait, then if you're fishing minnows or night crawlers or blood worms, even on a top and bottom rig, do you use any type of the hooks with the beads and spinners on them, or do you just go plain hook?
Well, most of the time, Alan, a plain hook is probably the better way to go.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think, Butch? That I think Bear Paw makes that hook with a spinner and beads on it and stuff.
Right. I found a tendency that those have a tendency to twist up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, I got it.
That is a plain hook.
Yeah. Well, you've got too many. You got a lot of dynamics there. You got a lot of vibration. You got the top and bottom rig, and then you got all that spinning stuff going on. But I mean, I know some guys do prefer those when they're fishing, like the freshwater white perch, where you know you don't have the tidal flow and the
right.
and the currents and all that stuff, and you can actually kind of control that a little
right.
bit better. So I got it.
My neighbor actually does a trolling thing on. Lock Raven and Liberty when he goes for white perch, and he does use the spinner type hook rigs.
Right. Yep, I got it. So, yeah, I met your neighbor. How's he doing? Did they go on their cruise?
Yes, they did. They went on their cruise, came back, and did fine. Their family members did finally make it in.
Right. Gotcha.
But, yeah, that was their family members were flying in when Hurricane Bob was coming in. So they got detoured and didn't make it to the boat.
Hmm. Good. Glad to hear that. So, all right, Tim, we're going to let you go, and we'll finish up with Butch. Thanks for calling in and giving us some tips and techniques, buddy.
No problem. Thanks for having me, and Butch, nice chatting with you.
Yeah, nice chatting with you.
Okay. All right, Butch, just hang on there, buddy. We kind of went long on the one segment, so we've got to take another break here before we go out, and then we'll come back with some parting comments, maybe some stuff you'd like to wrap up with. So,
okay.
Hey, look, if you like to fish in Maryland, today's a free fishing day. July 4th. Today only, not tomorrow. But you can go fishing today and not have to worry about getting your license checked or anything else. But get the whole family and just head out somewhere. It's going to be a nice day. But the question is, do you like winning prizes and cash, maybe a boat or a fishing trip or some new equipment? No strings attached? It's the Maryland Fishing Challenge. 67 species across Maryland, all across the state. Three divisions, tidal, non-tidal, and Atlantic. You can win cash and prizes for fishing anywhere you go. $25,000 in guaranteed cash prizes. $6,000 up for grabs in each of the three regions across Maryland. $6,000 in the tidal region, $6,000 in the Chesapeake Bay region, $6,000 on the Atlantic. Master anglers, if you catch an angler award-sized fish in all three divisions, you are a master angler and automatically qualify to win an additional $2,000. $5,000 in random cash drawings at the Maryland Fishing Challenge finale event. So get out there and go fishing. Catch yourself a big old fish. Get an angler award. Go to the grand finale, and you could win a boat, motor, and trailer from Bass Pro Shops and all those other prizes we mentioned. It's the Maryland Fishing Challenge, a free year-round tournament for every recreational fisherman in Maryland. You can visit the website, www.dnr.maryland.gov/fisheries. And you'll get all the information. Go fish. That's what it's all about. Merrick Backcountry, the ancestral diet dogs go wild for. With a mix of exotic proteins and chunks of real freeze-dried raw meat. Grain-free recipes made in the USA offer the best nutrition for the dog whose appetite was never domesticated. Merrick Backcountry. They love the wild as much as you do. And let me tell you one more time about Clyde Sports Shop. Anything you need for fishing, for crabbing, for hunting, for shooting sports, for personal and home protection, firearms, they've got all of that. They've been around since 1957. They're a full-line Browning firearms dealer. I want you to go in there and check out all the stuff at Clyde Sports Shop. It's not a big store. It's not a superstore. It's not a big box. It is Clyde's Sports Shop. Yep. You can take the whole tour store in about 10 minutes. They've got archery. They've got Parker bows. They've got Kota bow crossbows. They've got Parker crossbows. They've got people who can work on that type of thing. That's right. They got a full-line gunsmith, a full-service gunsmith who can clean your gun, repair your gun, mount a scope, do some bore sighting if you need. They got a little bit of clothing. They got a lot of fishing tackle, a lot of crabbing supplies. It's a general all-around shop that hunters and fishermen across Maryland have come to love. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Clyde Sports is the website, two S's in the middle. 242-6108 is the phone number. 247-3474. 247-FISH is the 24-hour fishing hotline. Everything that we love, the fishing and the hunting, is all right there. Clyde Sports Shop.
This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner. liner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
At the tackle shop, I got a charge account running up nonstop. They ought to give me my own parking spot. I can't fit another plug in my tackle box. It's always under construction for all my weapons of mass destruction.
There we go. Hey, we're with Butch Webb here, wrapping it up for this hour, this segment of the Outdoorsman Radio Show here. My name's Alan Ellis, and Butch Webb's on the phone. We're talking about white perch. Butch, it's free fishing day in Maryland, 4th of July weekend. Today,
that's right.
Only. You'll get nailed tomorrow if you're out there without a license. But give us your top two or three spots for white perch this weekend.
Top two or three spots?
Yeah, sure.
I would say if you're fishing from shoreline down Chop Tank Fishing Rig, the Bill Burton Fishing Pier down Chop Tank.
Right.
They're underneath Kent Narrows if you feel like running a little small rattle trap around the bridge pilings.
Right.
Up there.
What about Mattapique?
Mattapique, you can pick up a few at a time there off that pier.
Right.
It all depends on how hard the wind's blowing around there, really.
How about further south?
Further south.
Point Lookout State Park.
Point Lookout's a good spot.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. And there's a beautiful pier down there, right?
Yes, it is. You're more likely this time of year to pick up croaker.
Okay.
But
very good.
Good spot.
Okay. Butch, thanks for joining us this hour. We appreciate all your good advice on white perch, probably the second most popular species of fish in Maryland next to the striped bass or maybe largemouth bass.